This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
A tree was found growing in a Russian man's lung.
That is not the correct place to grow a tree.
A tree! A tree!
Wow. That is just unbelievable.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
In Moscow.
Yeah.
Surgeons in Russia, Urals region, were staggered to find a 5-centimeter high spruce growing inside a man's lung.
Oh, that's crazy.
Thought he had cancer. That's what they suspected.
Well, yeah. Well,
he was
coughing
up blood. Young man.
He's 28.
A lot of pain.
Yeah. He was undergoing surgery. He had complained of extreme pain in his chest and had been coughing up blood. You think that might happen when you have a tree growing in your lung?
Now, I had a vision. Mm-hmm. Of the surgeon opening up the lung and jumping back and dropping his scalpel.
You want to know something? He basically did. He says, I blinked 3 times and thought I was seeing things. And I don't know how to pronounce his name.
The movie Alien comes to mind.
Yeah. Medical staff believe Sidorkin had somehow inhaled a seed, which later sprouted inside his lung.
That is crazy.
The spruce, which was touching the man's capillaries and causing severe pain, was removed. It was very painful. But to be honest, I did not feel any foreign objects inside me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. That's why the pain.
That is amazing. How in the world?
That's crazy.
I've heard of beans up the nose. I've heard of beans in ears.
We had a kid stick a 4th of July, you know, those snakes that you light?
Oh, no.
And they grow?
Yeah.
The carbon.
Where did
grows.
He put it?
He put it up his nostril. You want to talk?
And lit it?
No. No, he didn't have to.
He'd be a real jokester. Hey, watch this, guys.
Watch me burn a snake out of my nose. No, that would have been bad. That would have been really bad.
I thought that's the only way it was activated.
It didn't activate.
No.
It sat up there with all of its gunpowder. Ripping his mucous membrane apart up in his upper nostril.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Up by the septum.
Oh,
and,
yikes.
Oh, he was miserable.
How long did he go with it?
Well, I don't know. A couple hours, probably.
Oh.
But can you imagine?
No. No, I cannot imagine that kind of thing.
I mean, his eyes were blazing red.
Oh, yeah.
Watering.
Oh, my word.
Because he's got a firework stuffed up his nose.
Yeah. I've heard of a friend of mine taking a family trip, turned around when heard one of his kids say, Johnny's got a bloody nose. He turned around. He didn't have a bloody nose. He'd stuck a red M&M up there, and that puppy was melting.
Oh, no.
Yuck. Oh, gross.
So the red dye number, whatever it is, didn't bother him, I guess.
But
there's a melting point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When I was a kid, I liked to suck the pimentos out of olives, right?
Yeah.
And if you're goofing around and you really, you know, suck that thing out, well, it kind of, you choke on it, right?
Yeah.
And coughed, and it went up into the back of my nasal pharynx.
Hurts. Oh, that hurts. Yeah.
Burns and burns. And you just sit there going,
Thank you for that.
Trying to get that stinking pimento out.
What happened?
You just keep blowing your nose and everything you can do to get that thing out of there. It just burns so
bad. That would be
bad.
Awful. Nasty.
Yeah, so pimentos.
You know, I don't think those things are intended to be in those places at all.
Where, your nose?
Yeah.
No, but a tree wasn't meant to be in this poor guy's lung either. I guess I got to wonder why the body didn't break that thing down.
That is why. Well,
what fertile ground is inside the lung?
Well, there's moisture.
Yeah, lots of moisture. But the lung, there's no...
But there's no sunlight.
It seems like your body would have attacked that thing, though.
You think like an infection.
Yeah, absolutely.
An infection.
Right, absolutely. It's a foreign body.
Yeah. But you wouldn't have any acids or anything in the lung to break it down, though.
Not in the lungs.
Like if it was the stomach acid.
A normal pH, I mean...
Yeah.
And pine trees like acidy ground, right?
They do.
Hey.
Well,
maybe, we might be on to something.
Hang on a second here. We should start planting trees in people. We might get some good trees going on there.
I got my new nursery.
It's all inside.
There it is.
Well, you know, I'm just glad the guy's okay.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Man, craziness. I wonder if he's like a tree trimmer or something. I mean, how would you inhale a pine seed?
They're not that big.
He may have choked on one.
Yeah, they're not that big.
Eating them.
Well, I don't think you eat them on purpose. Out of the pine.
Why not? Pine nuts? Well, I eat pine nuts on salad all the time.
Well, yeah.
Don't tell my 5-year-old.
I know.
We go on walks. Yeah, she loads up bags and pockets full of pine cones.
Pine cone nuts.
No. Yeah.
Some don't taste as good as others, but there's not one pine tree that I know of that's dangerous to eat.
Not that I'm aware of either.
Stop the madness.
Yeah. Hmm. Isn't that something?
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
You know what I'm thankful for?
What?
That we live in an area, and if you've listened to some of our earlier podcasts, you've probably picked up on this. We don't get any bad snakes,
mm-mm.
No bad bugs. We got bugs, but not bad
bugs.
Yeah,
we got mosquitoes.
We got skeeters. And
black
you go way up
flies.
North, we got black flies.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, we're not dying of malaria around here.
No.
No black widows normally.
West Nile was a scare for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still got that going on.
But you're right. Not anything like what we hear about tropically.
No. Yeah. So when we read this article about bed bugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're making a comeback.
Oh,
everybody knows the old rhyme.
Yeah.
Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Right. I used to say it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
My grandma was paranoid about those things.
Well, she probably lived through the first...
She did. Well, she lived when they had the straw mattresses where they were really prevalent.
Oh, my word.
That's where they came from.
Well, out of Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Nocturnal bloodsuckers reemerging in Houston.
I
and
can't
across
believe
the nation.
It.
These babies are mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying we don't get them here. We have vacationed in the southeast part of the country with ticks. It's just goofing around in a field.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you're hauling the ticks off. It's kind of a pain.
Yeah, well, I lived in North Dakota. And in the springtime, right now, this time of year, you go out in the woods and you're going to have 20, 30 ticks on you easily.
That's kind of what these bed bugs remind me of.
Oh, yeah.
Are like fleas or ticks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They latch on.
Uh-huh.
And their source is blood.
Yep. It
says that once they were nearly eradicated from the United States.
By
liquid insecticides.
Yeah. DDT.
DDT. Yep. DDT is what they use.
They're coming back.
Because we don't use
DDT. The nocturnal bloodsuckers have made a comeback.
For good reason we don't.
Yeah.
But you wonder, in the removal of certain chemicals, varmints can morph.
Well, I hate to say this, but they're saying that it's really blamed on a rash of international travel.
Yeah.
Well, how did they get here to begin with the last time we eradicated them? The point is, they're saying how they got here again. Quite frankly, what is our response to the infestation now when we can't use the level of chemicals for good reason?
Well, yeah, managing bed bugs, right? How do you manage them? I mean, that's what I really want to know. If you got them, they're bad enough, but how do you get rid of the doggone things? Well, we're going to be posting it on the website, but it says, first of all, thoroughly clean infested rooms. So launder the bedding. Dry it thoroughly in a hot dryer to kill all stages of the bed bugs. Because they can be, you know, in a nymph stage. They can be in a pupa. They could be multiplying. So it's important to eliminate clutter, reduce hiding places for the bed bugs, and reduce the mattresses that are going to be perfect for breeding these things.
Yeah, they hitchhike primarily on luggage. That's the one thing that you see it in the hotel rooms. Is a hitchhike on people's luggage coming in and out, and clothes, furniture, all that wonderful
stuff. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
They're about as big, I think this article says they're about as big as an apple seed.
Yeah.
So they're not.
That's pretty big.
Apple seeds are pretty good. So they're very visible. They're not like something that's hidden, like lice or something. Lice are more hidden, but lice, they can't live on mattresses and things. Lice have to have a host. Bed bugs can live, I'm not sure if this article mentions it, but they can live a little bit longer when you hitchhike on the things like the baggage and that stuff.
They're attracted by exhaled CO2 and body heat.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, not by dirt.
Kind of like mosquitoes.
And they feed on blood, not waste.
Huh. However, they leave waste. So when checking into a hotel, it's a good idea to immediately inspect the rooms for bed bugs.
Lots of brown spots.
They like to live in groups in cracks and other dark, tight places. Mm-hmm. These hot spots can often be identified because bed bugs leave small brown, black spots and smears. Yeah. Liquid feces.
Yep. Gross.
Well, that's pleasant.
Isn't that enough to make you kind of sick?
It says the fecal spots may also be found on bed linens, pillows, and mattresses.
Nice white sheets, it ain't so white anymore.
Nope.
Yep.
Now, a chemical treatment that's non-chemical, vacuuming, steaming, laundering, mattress encasement, will be helpful in bed bug control, but by themselves are not likely to eradicate the bed bug population. This means insecticides must be used to treat bed bug harborage areas. Mm-hmm. Insecticide treatments in sleeping areas are a potential health risk, so it's very important to use products which can be safely used in the bedroom.
I think the one thing with bed bugs you got to remember is it doesn't matter how clean and pristine and beautifully cleansed that that hotel room is, because bed bugs, doesn't matter if it's clean or not.
No.
If they hitchhike in on a suitcase, they're there.
Yep.
They're going to infest the place.
And if you're driving through your neighborhood and they say, free used furniture.
Yeah.
Beware.
Yeah. So be careful, because once you get these babies, it is very difficult to get rid of them. And the chemical treatments do not work that well. And you really got to use a ton of them. That's sad.
Makes me itch. My skin's itching.
Yeah, it makes me not want to really go to a hotel anytime soon.
Well, Dan, I hope you enjoy your trip to Florida next week.
Yeah, have fun.
I knew that was coming.
Just think of those bed bugs every bed that you sleep in.
Yeah, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah. So why sleep tight, though? What's the tight part?
Sleep tight.
What's the tight part mean?
I bet if you wrap up in the sheets really tightly.
But if they're infested with bed bugs.
Well, no, you'd have clean sheets and wrap around them.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
That's a Googler.
Bite.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to find that one out.
It probably has been morphed. It probably should be more like,
hey, how about
sleep tidy. And
that could be our poll question.
And may the bed bugs never bite thee.
There you go.
And it's morphed to sleep tight, let the bed bugs bite.
It's been Americanized.
Americanized. Yeah. Terrible.
That could be our poll question.
Right.
Do you know where bed bugs come from?
Well, actually, it is going to be the poll question.
Get out.
We'll hear it in a few minutes.
There we go.
After this.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
This week's Stumper, what the heck would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for this?
Ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
We've been trying to keep with the theme of spring.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the heck do you do if you get stung by a bee and you develop an allergic reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, how do you recognize that it is an allergic reaction and not just the reaction of a bee sting? Secondly, once you start to react, how much time does one have and what should we do?
Yep.
There's the question for the day.
There you go.
Who's going to start?
It's tough because if I start, I give it all away.
But my response is pretty straightforward.
Don't get stung.
I scream and I beat at it and I race home and ask for my mommy.
What would you do if the bee stung you and left its stinger in you, Dan?
Well, I've tried to pull those out.
With your fingers?
Yeah.
Squirt all the poison right into it?
I try to treat it like a pimple and work from the wider edges and push up.
Ooh,
That might work.
It might work.
Yeah. Training method would say to scrape it with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of town.
No. So that you don't squish. If you can
There's
imagine
a
this.
Poison bulbous at the end of it.
Imagine a balloon on a needle.
Yeah.
That's what a stinger actually looks like a balloon on top of a needle.
Yeah.
You squeeze the balloon, all that venom goes right into your skin.
Yeah.
Stop the madness. So I would not have known that.
So you got to scrape it out without squishing the balloon on the
I'm
end
really
of the needle.
Glad you didn't go first.
See?
That's why we wanted you to go first. Let's see if we can get Dan to go first again on some other questions.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Makes us feel better.
It does.
Okay, so you remove the stinger, and not all bees leave their stingers either.
No, they don't.
Wasps. I got stung by a bunch of bald-faced bees. You know what those are?
Oh, yeah.
Paper wasps, paper bees.
Yeah, they don't leave their stinger.
They are really mean. Really, really mean.
Yeah.
I didn't have any stingers left in me.
No, because they're hornet. They don't leave stingers.
No, but I got stung
multiple times.
Backed into a paper wasp hive.
Oh.
Cleaning our bathroom window.
Oh, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We backed into it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is going to be a kid's story.
Oh, no.
Full grown adult.
So I'm impressing my wife. See, honey, cleaning the bathroom window for you. Aren't I a hero?
So on a ladder?
On a ladder.
Oh, boy.
The whole time I'm less than a foot and escape. A half away from a bowling ball sized wasp nest. Right?
Oh, no.
Hornet
moral
nest.
Moral of the story?
Well, I get off the ladder and I'm trying to get off the retaining wall with my back to the bush that this thing was hidden in. It makes my back hurt just talking about it. And as I'm trying, the bush is trying to, it's kind of overgrown, so it's pushing me off the retaining wall. So I pushed back into the bush and scraped the whole thing, ripped the whole nest in half with my back. Only to then begin to feel these pricks on my back.
Oh, those things are nasty. Oh, they are nasty.
And then I could see the swarm around my head.
Oh.
I dove off the retaining wall, running down the yard, ripping my shirt off, slapping my back, whipping my shirt around and around and around in circles, trying to get rid of those things, thinking they're going to outrun me. They will follow me.
They will.
They are ticked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have ripped their home open.
Oh.
I probably had 12 stings.
Did
on
you?
My side and back.
Yeah, I'm surprised you only gave up with that, man.
I know. Thanks be to God.
You ran fast.
I felt a little
ill of foot.
I felt a little ill, but I did not have an allergic reaction. Thanks be to God.
That's for sure.
Man, that's great.
Because, here's a trivia question. Does one have to be allergic to bees to have an allergic reaction to a bee sting?
I would say yes.
Now, does one have to be allergic to have an allergic reaction? I'd have to say
Let me reword that.
Okay.
Do they have to have a history of being allergic to bees?
No.
Well,
No history.
Let me clarify it from there. In other words, all of us have been stung.
Right.
I know a few people short of monks.
I bet a few of them have been stung.
So, so you're suggesting we've all been stung before, and you're saying those that have never
had
a reaction,
right?
Could they have a reaction at a later point?
Correct.
Yeah. I would.
I would say yeah. I've developed allergies later in my life. I don't know if it was lying dormant, but.
Yep.
Yeah, there's so many different varieties of bees out there, so many different potencies of venom.
True.
That absolutely 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There is. And because if you get stung, like you said, you got stung 12 times.
Yeah.
If those are 12 different bees, you got that much venom stuck in you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have a huge chance of having an allergic reaction at that point.
I'll be honest. I took Benadryl.
Yeah.
Prophylactically.
Yeah. You need to.
I took it prophylactically. I thought, you know what? It's a lot of toxin.
Now, if I was the guy that got stung 12 times by those guys,
you'd be dead.
I'd be dead. Yeah. It takes me about 5 minutes. I am severely allergic to bees.
6 foot five.
Really? A little tiny bee.
6 foot five.
Yeah. I can be killed.
Highly allergic to a bee.
Yep.
You know what, though? He does not freak out about them.
No.
I never see him freak out about bees.
Why?
I don't need to. The more you freak out, the more the bees are going to get you. The calmer you are, the less the bees are going to take and try to sting you.
Isn't that funny?
It's the truth.
Hey, he's still alive and he's celebrating his 40th birthday.
And he is one to take on projects on the exterior of his home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells me your story is entirely true.
Yeah, he's not worried about it.
No.
Do you think he's got an EpiPen?
What, for his tracheotomy?
Listen, my EpiPen is only 2 years old. Expired 2 years ago. So I need a new one.
Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Jody.
Well, see,
where do you get them?
It's called a barber with a bad haircut.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
Yeah.
You can teach the stuff. Doesn't mean you're going to follow it. Well, so anyways, getting back to our whole idea here is, yes, you can develop a massive allergic reaction at any point from any exposure from any substance, not just bee stings.
Mm-hmm.
So people that say, well, I've never been allergic to peanuts before, doesn't mean that they're not allergic to peanuts now. I've never been allergic to bee stings before, and now they have a swollen throat, hives, and they were stung. I'm never surprised. So then I usually have to educate them in the back of the ambulance as I'm giving them Benadryl IV.
Mm-hmm.
So, or IM. So the answer to that is yes, you can always develop an allergic reaction. So anybody getting stung, bit, or being exposed to anything, if they get the symptoms of an allergic reaction,
and?
Hot.
Oh, go ahead.
Hot, prickly feelings, hard to swallow, itchy tongue, swollen tongue, swollen throat, hard to breathe, wheezing, hives, swelling in the body, burning around the lips sometimes. Any of those symptoms should be looked at as, I may be having an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
And believe me, call 911 right away. You can always tell 911, I overreacted, I'm sorry. But you can never make up for last time.
So how did you determine whether you were going to call 911?
Waited to feel the symptoms. I took Benadryl because I knew I was going to have swelling anyways from the bee stings. And when you got 12 them.
You have a matter of time.
It depends. Certain people have certain sensitivities. If a person is highly allergic. So in other words, a lot of times if people get.
You mentioned that person on the beach.
Yeah.
That you were driving by.
They would have been gone. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But they had an existing.
Right.
Allergy to bees.
Right.
And knew that they were highly sensitive and then got stung. So they knew that they were going to have an immediate anaphylactic reaction. And the weird thing about this is here's why allergic reactions are so serious. Sometimes I don't know if we understand the pathophysiology behind this. Not only do we have massive histamine releases after a person gets exposed to an allergen, something or an antagonist, but they also, a real anaphylactic reaction causes blood vessels to become permeable of the serous type fluid that is contained in blood, right? The nutritive types of fluids, the stuff that causes swellings and burns or bruising and things like that.
Okay.
When the vessels react to this allergic reaction and become permeable, the fluids that are inside the blood vessels leak out into the interstitial space, the tissues of the body, systemically, not just at the point of the sting, but systemically, arms, legs, body.
Okay.
Thereby basically causing the same hypovolemic, if you will, or low blood pressure, hypotensive crisis as one would experience if they had a massive bleed. Right? Or lost a large amount of fluids fast. The kicker is you can't stop the impermeability or the permeability of that without getting the anaphylactic reaction to stop. So we need to do epinephrine. We need to do large amounts of Benadryl.
Yep.
But even more importantly, we need steroids.
Yeah. I mean, like on the ambulance, the Benadryl is the most important, the antihistamine. That's the Benadryl. Antihistamine, yep. So that helps with the swelling issue. But you need the epinephrine because what happens in that severe allergic reaction is the narrowing of the upper airways is taking place. The epinephrine opens up the upper airways, keeps you so that you can continue to breathe. So you need both. You need the epinephrine and you need the Benadryl both. Now, the one thing like when it comes to the lay rescuer or say you're at your house, you're not going to typically have an epinephrine shot unless you have a kit.
Right.
And if you have people that have had allergic reactions, like such in my case, last time I got to ride the ambulance for that, I was an EMT at that point and got to ride the ambulance. And I literally, I didn't call the ambulance because I'm the type of guy that would drive myself to the hospital while I'm dying.
Which is also the thing not to do.
Right. Don't ever do that. That's just absolutely moronic.
So he won't do that. So actually, what he's saying is, I feel like I would do that, but I won't do that. Right, Jody?
Sure. So anyhow, the...
Because
it's
dead
true.
Man behind a wheel is not just dangerous. Killing themselves.
Yeah.
They're taking out anybody in the way.
Yeah. And it's exactly true. And so the issue was I did call because I was at the point where I literally was saying, I can't really breathe here. So it's time to call the ambulance. It's time not to drive myself.
Kind of too late.
So
it's actually a miracle that you're here.
Well, no, it depends on the person. Now, it's kind of funny when the paramedic comes in and I'm sitting there going, I'm okay. I'm having an allergic reaction, but I get the Benadryl going.
Dead yet.
And he's looking at me. I'm not all panicked and freaking out. And he's kind of looking at me like, oh yeah, here's a fake call. And then when he actually tries to listen to my lungs and actually sees the hives that were actually developing on my entire body, turning like 5-inch circles, my entire body, big, huge hives everywhere. He was like, oh, this is really serious. Let's go.
No doubt.
So, but yeah, the idea is, watch out for the reaction and you need to get care right away.
Yep. You do. It's not being overreactive. You can always, as I said before, go home, grab an ice cream on a hot day and say, you know, we're really glad that this wasn't a serious reaction. But if it had been,
right?
We would have been on it.
Absolutely.
And unless you are there where they can actually start some serious steroid injections or drips to get this inflammation reaction to stop, this permeability of blood vessels to stop, the antihistamines to stop overreacting, these people are going to die.
So, should I get a kit for my home?
You can't unless you have an allergic reaction. What you can do is you could get liquid Benadryl and Benadryl capsules and keep them in your first aid kit wherever you are, wherever you go.
Got it.
On the boat.
In the van.
In the van. In the cabin. On road trips. At home. You name it. In the beach bag. So that at least you've got liquid Benadryl that you could start, which would help at least cut down on the massive histamine release.
Got it.
And I've even said, you know, I'm not prescribing this, but this is kind of a backwoods Ricky Rescue way to do this. But I believe at over the counter, you can still get that Primatene Mist. It's a bronchodilator made up of extremely harsh norepinephrine, I think. Almost like Afrin for the nose.
Yeah.
But it's the... It's kind of like
it's an inhaler.
It's like an epinephrine inhaler. It's not something you would use for chronic asthma.
No.
At all. But it does bronchodilate.
Got it.
And I have said, if it were me, and I was putting a first aid kit together to simply buy time until the advanced life support arrived with the real meds, I probably would stick a bronchodilator in my bag as well. To buy some time.
All right. Well, next week, we're going to have to do something on poison ivy, poison oak.
Yeah.
Because I am very allergic to that. It's inevitable. As the golf ball goes into the woods, and as my income has improved over the years, I quit looking for as many.
Right.
But in my younger, poorer days, I wouldn't walk the fairway. I'd just walk the woods and collect golf balls the whole way.
Yeah.
Until a couple instances.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it.
No.
I haven't arrived as Dan has, so I still walk the woods.
He takes the poison ivy.
I've got a couple
You're
good
stories. You're just more Dutch than I am.
That's right. I got a couple good poison ivy stories.
So anyway,
to go to that.
We should. I think we should address that.
There you go.
As long as spring's sprung.
Springing sprung. So there you go. How to handle an allergic reaction. Mm-hmm. And topically, too, remember there's hydrocortisone creams that you can buy over the counter as well. For non-allergic inflammation of bug bites, just use as directed.
Indeed.
And be careful.
Indeed.
The poll question for today. Does the fear of bed bugs keep you away from hotels? Mm-hmm. Yes. No. Maybe. Does the fear of bed bugs keep you away from hotels? Yes. No, or maybe.
Does the fear of getting robbed keep you... No, I was kidding.
Does the fear of a car accident keep you...
Don't like infestations.
No.
Fleas.
Lice.
Black ants in our home.
Right now. I know. We've got some black ants, too. We got to get taken care of.
Nasty exoskeletons.
I've heard there's some natural ways to take care of that. What was that? Mint?
I've been hearing that.
Something like that? Mint oil?
So it's not garlic.
No, not this time. Not for ants. That's vampires.
I think it's mint oil.
But we used to have a big mint tree. Mint plants.
Yes.
We used to have mint plants around
our house.
Where'd you grow up? I grew up
in up north, in Northway.
We got mint trees, not mint plants.
Yeah, not trees. We had mint plants growing, though, and those mint plants really kept down the ants.
Yeah. On a more natural note.
Yep. Dipped in batter.
Dipped in mint.
You can buy mint oil.
Mint
spread oil. It around your house, and it'll smell nice.
We're going to try that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have any more insecticide that I don't have to have. Now, we do have some things, those little ant traps, baits, that are inside a plastic container. The ants come in, and they eat a little bit of it, and they bring it back to the queen.
The ants check in, but the bed bugs take them down. No, that's not it. they don't.
So maybe we'll have to do something on that in the future.
Sounds good.
All right. So from the studios of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And have a safe week. We'll see you next time.
If you you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.